Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
For the message this morning, we're going to look at a very popular passage. In fact, there are people who don't go to church, they're not Christians. They would know some of the words from this passage. It's so popular. We see it, it's referenced sometimes on bumper stickers or, pieces of this passage on T-shirts, or they put them on plaques or magnets. We see it, we can decorate our home with them. And it's the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the what chapter? The love chapter. And that's where we're going to go this morning, is we're going to look at this passage. Now, before I start to read it, I want to set the stage a little bit of where we're going to go with this. Because when we hear the love passage, oh, he's going to talk about love, and, he's going to read what it isn't and tell us what it is, and the scripture's there. I want to take a look at this passage and how when we come to faith in Christ and we've shared in this unconditional love experience that God gives to us. And as we become believers and time goes by, if we're not careful, I've seen this happen, where we get a little off the mark in the emphasis of this passage and we start to make it about us and how that affects us and how it sets up a standard for other people. And yet we ourselves remove ourselves from some of the responsibility to love like this passage calls us. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm just noise." In other words, gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can be used in those gifts, the gifts to the body, the gifts to another person. You can do some very spiritual things that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. And yet, all of that is just noise if we don't have love. You know, it kind of works like this. You watch something happen in a person who is a believer. You watch them in their conduct or language or something, some response to something, and it's kind of undesirable. And yet you know that they talk about Christ, they talk about love, they uphold the declaring and agreeing with the gospel, and yet you see this inconsistency that happened. And it's not necessarily that happens all the time. It might be just a snapshot into somebody's life or one event. And what happens is we look and we go, gee, there's an inconsistency there between what they say and what they just did or how they acted. And we quickly say, boy, they're a hypocrite. I want you to know that we are all at the place in life where we still need to be changed. And not everything in our life is consistent with the Word of God. We're in the progress. We're in progression. We're in the process. We're moving along. He's still working on us. He's finishing the work. So I want you to know that just because there's an inconsistency in somebody's life, it doesn't mean that they're a hypocrite. Now, if people who are a hypocrite, there are inconsistencies. But this inconsistency that we might see in someone, maybe in the way of love, of what they proclaim and yet what they do, didn't quite match up. I want us to be careful that we don't quickly use the label hypocrite and final judgment on their life in that manner, because I know that sometimes we do that then to justify an attitude that really is at root within us, to say, see, that's a reason why I don't have to go to church, or that's a reason that I don't want to get involved, or that's a reason that I don't want to get too close to people in the church. And we use it as an excuse now for for us to stay the way we are and stay insulated and live a mediocre faith life. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit sees that. And that's not really moving in this love. So, you know, we're going to see some inconsistencies in each other. And the love that's been extended to us by God, we need to extend to one another. And it doesn't mean that everything a person says that has an inconsistency in their life, it doesn't mean everything they say should be disregarded. You see, if they're proclaiming the gospel, even if they're not living it like you think they should, in your estimation, it doesn't mean that we should throw out everything they say. But what Paul is saying about humanity is that when we see that inconsistency, they do spiritual things, but if they don't have love, it makes the audience go deaf. In other words, it's inconsistent. I'm not going to listen to what they say because of how they acted. And he says that about us, that we can do spiritual things, but if we don't have the evidence of genuine love, in this passage, agape love, that's basically the Greek word that's used through this portion of the scripture, is agape, which we have kind of coined and labeled as unconditional love. That's what God has shown us. And so Paul says, if you don't have this love and yet you're doing spiritual things, you're just making noise. People aren't going to listen to you. And he goes further and he says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith, even faith to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. In other words, you can have all these accomplishments, all these things we do, but if we don't have love, we're nothing. It's not about the accomplishments always. It's about the nature that Christ has become in our life. He says, I can give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I've gained nothing. In other words, we can sacrifice a whole lot of our own life and sacrifice things and all of this. He says, but if you don't have love mixed in, if love isn't the motive here, you haven't gained anything by your sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice that God's pleased with. And he moves on and he begins to tell us what love is not and some of what love is. He says, love is patient. How you doing so far in your assessment? Are you loving? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love doesn't boast. It's not arrogant. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. For tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love, these three things remain. But the greatest of these is love. You and I have been great recipients of this agape love, an unconditional love, as we have looked at the interpretation of that word. We've labeled it as unconditional, and I want you to know in a little bit of our understanding of it, we veered a little bit from what this really means. And I want to walk through this morning how maybe we can distort it, or how we have distorted it, to keep us from the pure pages of what the Spirit is really saying to us in Scripture. We've received this great love from the Lord, this unconditional love. He has shown us a grace and mercy that we, it's not something we can earn. And He has displayed this love in sending his son, as it says in the Gospel of John. God so loved the world, agape the world. In other words, they were not worthy of him, but he loved them so much that he gave. So this love that we experience from God is focused on and manifested. This love is a love that gives. We sometimes, through our experience and walk with Christ after a while, we know that we're supposed to love like this, but we kind of get tangled up in our people loving us like this. We've experienced this unconditional love from God, this charity from God, which is probably a little more accurate word than unconditional love. It's a charity. You'll look in some translations, they use that word. And it's this charity that God has loved us in a selfish manner. It wasn't based upon our performance, truly. It was without those kind of conditions. In other words, if you and I do so much or become so much, then he'll love us. No, he just loves us. God first loved us. It's part of how the Spirit has wooed us when we come to the understanding that he loved us first, and now our response, we come into faith and we love him back. And so in this process of putting our minds around this unconditional love, we drift a little bit. It gets a little distorted over time because now we have this new standard that agape love, and there's really probably about six words in the scripture used differently for love. You and I, we say love about a lot of things. I love this food. I love my husband. Hopefully when you say that, it means two different things, ladies. You know, I love my house. I love my kids. Hopefully when we say that, that's two different contexts of love. So we use one word, but because we're in this culture, we kind of grasp what the person means. In the original language, in the Greek at least, there's probably about six words that we find in Scripture that talk about love. And one is agape, and we've coined it as the unconditional. So we taste of this unconditional love that God has given us. Now that becomes the standard. In other words, for you and I, God has loved us like this, and we start out knowing that we have tasted of this unconditional love, and now we hold other believers to that standard. In other words, all those who proclaim to be Christians, now I hold to the standard that they are going to love me like this because they too have been loved like this from God, and they call themselves a Christian. Therefore, they have to love me in this perfect manner. And when they don't, I get frustrated. I get hurt. I make judgments about them, and not judgments in just judging, but judgments as in final judgments about their life. Now, I don't want to go into this. It's not the teaching this morning. When we start to get hurt and we do that, we kind of withdraw. We start to, talk to the Lord about it as if now he's got this clear, pure understanding because he knows everything and how wrong they are and how hurt I am. You following this? And so what happens is, yeah, God loves me unconditionally. People have hurt me. Other Christians have hurt me. They've disappointed me. They didn't love me to the standard. So what starts to slowly creep in our humanity because we don't keep in step with the Spirit, and all of us are susceptible to this, you and I, that when we go through this disappointment that other believers don't love us like this, we start to become real aware of our feelings, our thoughts, and all of a sudden, God has this understanding towards us. But they are failing me. And so now we use this as a point of reference to have this special understanding from God that puts me now in a place, and when I begin to move in that direction, that I no longer have to be transformed, but everybody else does. God understands I've been hurt, so we think he sets up a new set of rules for us. But everyone else, they are held to, the other rules because they have failed. And all of a sudden, there is this thing that begins to lodge itself in our attitude, in our outlook, and we start to partner that with the old life before Christ, where we didn't experience love like we should have. Significant people have hurt us. We've been disappointed. We were born into sin. I was born with issues. I grew up with relationship issues. Whatever went on. It doesn't matter, event or repeated atmosphere or culture, whatever it is, and we start to take that old stuff that we tried to get free from in Jesus, and we remember it, and now we partner with this new offense and this new hurt on this side of faith, the new side of faith. And all of a sudden, that marriage is, and now we think that because God understands that he now has this special dispensation just for us, and it moves us into this place that we expect others to love us unconditionally, but I don't have the responsibility to change. I can stay the way I am because they're supposed to love me just the way I am, without condition. And at that point, we have now twisted what is truly charitable, selfless love that God has given us, and in our humanity, we have tainted it. We're holding other people to that love standard like the scripture. But because we've been disappointed and hurt, we start looking at how I'm not receiving the love that I'm supposed to. I'm not feeling the love. I'm not getting the love. And we determine what that is. We put our little flair on it. Like somebody walked past me in the lobby in the church, and you know, they didn't smile long enough. They didn't ask me how I was doing, and obviously they could tell I was hurt. I was wearing it on my sleeve, but I wasn't really, but I was, but I wasn't, but I was. They don't really love me. We go through all kinds of things. Somebody walks by or says something, and we start to read into it. Oh, they don't like me. They don't love me. They call themselves a Christian. Oh, look how they treat that person. Look how they and all of a sudden, when we start to shift this direction, it is like a magnet. It starts to collect all these little things, and it becomes big, and now, you know what? It becomes an issue, and it is a great detriment to us, and yet we're proclaiming love. We think we're okay with the Lord because he loves us unconditionally. And now other people disappoint us in how they love us because they're not loving us like the Bible does. And all of a sudden, we're taking a passage that the emphasis was how we are supposed to love other people. This passage is all about how God is love, how he loved us, and how we in turn are supposed to love others. The focus of this passage of 1 Corinthians 13 is not about how I'm supposed to be loved. How love is supposed to make me feel. Now, those things are important in our life, but the focus of this passage in 1 Corinthians 13 is not about how I'm supposed to be loved. It's about how I was loved by God, and now I am called to responsibility to love like this, regardless of how other people treat me. This passage is not about defining love, and now everyone has to love me just like that. And if they don't, they need to get with Jesus. And I can point out some scriptures for them to help them along the way. Because out of my rightful resentment, I can bring great conviction to their life. Listen, what happens now is we take this passage that was meant on how we're supposed to love, and through time and experience, we're making about how we're not loved like this. Now it moves us to this point where Jesus sees our hurt. And now we think that we have this extra little special thing with him because he understands us, and the people don't because they don't love me like the scripture says they should. And so what happens is we move to this place in our mind that they're supposed to love me like I am. And I don't have a responsibility that I have to change. They just have the responsibility to love me. In a backhanded way, we've just made unconditional love very conditional. Let me share with you how this plays out a little bit. We focus on us. Rather than focus on how we love people, we start to focus on how I'm not being loved, how I'm loved, where people fail. And this becomes very selfish and all about me. And we're missing the point of the emphasis of what the Spirit is bringing to us through the Apostle Paul as he wrote to believers in Corinth about what love is and how we're supposed to love one another in a charitable, selfless way. What happens is we start to go down this road, we think we can live by different rules because we've been hurt. You see, it's interesting how you and I can have a hurt or an offense or something or some hardship or struggle somewhere in our past, whether it was this morning or yesterday or years ago. And because of this hardship, we move to a place of entitlement. In other words, we start to take what we think God wants to give us as if we've deserved it now because it's been so hard. And God understands. People don't. Because if they did, they would love me like this. And so now we begin further walking into this camp of an attitude of I do not have to be transformed. They are just supposed to love me like this. And so we operate by a different set of rules. We get real introspective in the sense that it's about my feelings. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says something interesting. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid, or by no means. Those who've come into Christ, should we just continue in sin so that grace can keep covering it? As if we have no responsibility now because of grace to live up to the law or to continue to be transformed in who Christ is? You see, we're supposed to continue to transform. When this love thing becomes an issue, we can settle into a place and say, they're not loving me well, and you know what? I think they're just judging me, and guess what? I don't have to change, but they have to love me. And when we settle into a place where we no longer need to transform, we don't need to change, and we're using hurt and the twisting of what real charitable love is in our life to, we think it's working to our benefit as if God understands, it is working to a terrible detriment in our spiritual development, our spiritual life, and affecting relationships around us, how we make decisions, how we look at things, how we perceive things, all of that. Look, I want you to consider this. When we start to move in that direction, these are things that tend to follow and that it attracts and becomes just this snowballing issue in us. And yet, we come to church, we talk to Christians, we do some things, we do spiritual things, but I will tell you that we remove the responsibility to change and we remove ourselves from the responsibility to love like this because we don't feel like we're being loved. These are things that happen. Along the way, this attitude of entitlement settles in as if my hardship, my difficulties, my struggles, God knows, and therefore because of hardship, I deserve some things. And we end up taking them. I want you to know that there's a distinct difference between entitlement and God's compassion. God's compassion is something he gives us. Entitlement is always something that we take. And we take hold of some things that don't belong to us. We think because we've been hurt that therefore I can get away with this and God understands and it's okay because I've earned it because I've been hurt. That's not his compassion. That's entitlement, and now we're operating by different rules and we removed ourselves from the accountability to transform. We remove ourselves from the responsibility to love like this. It moves us into things like this. If other people don't like the way that I look at something and don't come into agreement with me, they're wrong. What has shaped our outlook has not been this perfect love from God, this redemptive love. Now what's shaping us is some of the things before Christ that we keep given access to influence us. And it partners now with new hurt in our from the body of believers or people that aren't loving us up to what we the standard of what we think they should. And now we take that and partner with this, and now that shapes everything that we begin to feel, how we make judgments, how we make decisions, how it affects our relationships. And when people don't agree with us, we think, see? And we add it as another trophy or another reason in our life to be disappointed because they didn't love us, because they didn't agree with us. I'll bring this to your attention. Have you known somebody that it's a little bit like this? They don't care for something or don't like something. They don't like it. It's not their preference. And that for that person, everything has to go according to their preference, as if their preference, their like and dislike, trumps everyone else's. They insist on their way. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, that's a person who is focused on trying to be loved like they should, and when they're not, they entitle it and they impose. They're not focused on the passage of this is how they're supposed to be loving people. It's all about how they're being loved or not loved. I mean, do you live with someone like that? Do you work with someone like that? Are you wearing somebody's shoes who's like that? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Do we do that? If it's not going to be my way, then this is going to be a horrible gathering. If it's not going to be my way, and my preference doesn't trump yours. What makes your preference like everybody's got to buckle to your preference? Or my preference? If they don't do it, then they don't love me like they should. You've been looking at something a certain way. You feel like you're right. They don't agree. And they are a disappointment. They're not loving you like they should. And it continues to move us further and further from where we're supposed to be, because we have settled into a place where we feel like we've got to be loved just the way we are. It's unconditional. Don't judge me. Love me. I don't have to change. You have to accept me. That is not what unconditional love is. It's not about the recipient. It is about the way that we are supposed to give love to others. Don't make this love thing about you. Make it about other people. I want you to stand up, please, all over this room. If you and I continue in this way, Paul says, God forbid. It is important that we're all loved. We were made to connect to that. That's how we were created. Created for love relationship in every context, you know, of friends and playful love and, you know, agape love and the other three loves. So we're designed for that. And it's important. It's why God gave his son, that we could know this charitable love that was given to us, not based upon who we are. It was based upon the giver. And it's affected our life dramatically and should be changing us. But don't get caught. Let's not get caught and making the love all about you, me. The passage is not about the recipient. The passage is about who we are as the giver of this love. And when we do that, we follow directions more closely, and we accept the fact that we need to change. We need to be transformed. We need to remain and grow in our responsibility to love like this, to love others like this. Do not make 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about how you're being loved or not loved by other people. That is not the emphasis, the point, or the focus of the passage. The passage, its focus, is about you and I learning to love and give like that. You will save yourself some heartache. You will save yourself some repentance. You will save yourself a lot of anguish and turmoil inside if you and I begin to look at the passage and say, this is how I need to love. This is the standard for me to love. This passage is not about others living up to the standard and loving me. It's not the focus of the passage. Do we want to be loved like this? Of course. We were designed to be loved like this. It's how God revealed himself to us. So that we could be saved, we could know him, and then we could become like him. Stop holding other people's feet to the fire in your expectations of how they're supposed to love you. You and I need the Holy Spirit to help us hold our feet to the fire to love others like this.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.